From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. Neil and I will be at Funky's tonight for our final show of the fall semester, final live podcast there at Funky's, drinking pizza specials as always there. Matt Wyatt joining us. We'll talk Mississippi State. We'll talk to we'll talk Vanderbilt. We'll talk a little bit of everything with Matt. I don't know what we'll talk about. I really hadn't got that far yet, but we'll get there here in a little bit to close it out. So come hang out. Again, as I posted on the board yesterday, use this as an excuse to drink. Come and chill and make the most of the night here at Funky's. Get in from the cold because it is quite chilly these days. So do that. And also here in Nashville on Friday night, we're having our watch party at Neighbors, the Germantown location in Nashville, for Ole Miss and Butler. 7 p.m. tip for that. Got the Dead Soxy socks to give away. They came in yesterday. They were delivered to the wrong address. We had to walk down the neighborhood a little bit, but they were secured. They are in my possession now, and several of you will win pairs of Dead Soxy that are in attendance for that. Have drink specials also at Neighbors. So fellowship, basketball, Ole Miss and Butler will have a good time there. And as Thanksgiving is getting close, let the Oxford Exxon, let Blue Sky, multiple Blue Sky locations in Mississippi. I'm going to make a post about that on the board here in a little while to show you all the different locations. Smoke your turkey for Thanksgiving. $15. Takes about 6 hours to do it. And the day before Thanksgiving is the cutoff date where it is too late to then take it by. So let them smoke your turkey there with Blue Sky and the Oxford Exxon. Again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for, and he'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's really that simple. Just sends you a quote by email, and it's a very easy, simple way of kind of doing business. You get your quote, and the rest is up to you. You can shop it around, or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for me and so many others, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. You get a great Ford product, great service after the sale, delivery options. Corey wants to be your truck guy. He wants to be your car guy. And if you start kind of going down the road with them, you'll see what I mean. 662-257-1900. Tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on this podcast or any of our family of podcasts, and you'll save $500 off the already great line, great bottom line, I should say, at Clark Ford.
Jeffrey joining us here on the show here in a little bit. We talk a lot of stuff all the way up and down the gamut, including, I guess we'll tease it here. We talk about it later. Might talk about it here too, the Ole Miss-related story coming out this morning from Yahoo Sports and everyone's favorite Pat Forty regarding Tom Mars is the most impactful suit in college football. Shea Patterson, Michigan's rise makes this not a surprise. There in the back of your mind, you go, "Oh, it's all kind of over." But the way Patterson's played, the way Michigan keeps winning, it is going to become a national story. And you'll hear us say in a little bit, probably if it's bothering you, if you're an Ole Miss fan that's really bugged by it, probably ought to have some thick skin, because if they keep winning, every bit of flyover media is going to not understand the nuances and complexities of the case.
You missed a word.
Not want to understand.
Not care.
Yes. The intricacies of the situation, and they're going to throw a lot of the same fluff at you here in a week or two. So be prepared as we get going.
Yeah, not all. There are a handful. Andy Staples, Barrett Salee. Who else?
Steven,
but Steven doesn't count because he went to Ole Miss,
yeah.
So he gets thrown out. He should count. He's done more reporting on the story than anybody else, but it doesn't matter.
Other ones, however, do not get that held against them when they write about Louisville or Missouri or somebody. That's fine.
Well, Missouri, because Missouri's a elite journalism school, at least from a reputation standpoint. I don't know. like Staples went to Florida, Ashoff went to Florida,
mm-hmm.
they can write about Florida and it still has validity. Biggest mistake for, not mistake, biggest problem for Ole Miss is when the stuff came out about the what happened in Covington, Kentucky, the two people that wrote it went to school at Ole Miss and it rendered it rendered the content null and void. I wrote what I thought was a pretty big news story, frankly. I wrote about what happened in that room that day, and it got no traction at all. All it got was people going, oh, you're a homer. That's what it got.
And then in their minds, validated because nothing actually came from it from a results standpoint. You know what I mean? It didn't have any impact on the proceedings
right.
whatsoever.
The COI determined that
he was credible.
That Leo Lewis was credible because they needed Leo Lewis to be credible because otherwise the whole thing is a complete joke. When I said the whole thing, the whole second NOA. As I've said many times, the first NOA is a really solid document. You could say it's nitpicky, but it's solid. Everything's been proven. I mean, there was nothing Ole Miss could really fight in the first NOA. The second NOA, there was a lot of stuff that could be fought. But they determined that he was credible, and they decided that Alan Smith gave him money and that they didn't really care about the money that he got from Mississippi State because they determined that that came from a family friend. Because junior college coaches hand out $10,000 to kids all the time.
Not getting down this rabbit hole, really don't talk about it at all. I wonder, looking back, if anybody has any regrets about immediately, because it was kind of sort of admitted but never proven. I wonder if anybody has any regrets about not even fighting from the very beginning of the academic fraud, because it never got clear-cut proven in a lot of ways. There was a lot of ambiguity about that at times. I wonder, had you at the very beginning tried to cast more doubt on that instead of kind of rolling over on that to hoping for lesser punishments in the rest of the NOA, what would have happened? And I don't know the answer.
I don't know what they knew or what they believed about what did or did not happen as it pertained to ACT fixing.
Yeah.
You sure don't want to fight that and then find out that the ACTs did indeed get fixed.
Yeah. But, I mean, admitting to it's the same thing, is it not? You're guilty either way.
Well, they're
they didn't get exemplary cooperation, so no. What difference does it make?
Yeah, but at the time, I think they thought, hey, the former staff, we weren't here. None of us did this. Let's just get it to go away. Look, I thought they were okay with their approach until right around draft night. And draft night, you probably – this is where I differ with them. Their argument is we did fight. We fought behind the scenes. And that might have worked. I don't know. But when you don't fight publicly, the public doesn't believe that you fought. Perception, reality. And I think it matters.
What's the template? I mean, I really don't remember. I mean, I kind of remember, but what did Auburn do so differently publicly during theirs?
Auburn suspended Newton for about a day.
I remember that. Yeah, whatever.
And then came out and said, there's nothing. He's playing. You can't prove it. We can't find it. You can't prove it. Go for it. He's playing. And the NCAA couldn't prove it because there was nobody at Auburn that was dumb enough to send a text like Alan Smith did right into Barney Farrar's office. They actually had layers.
Well, I was trying to think. I mean, obviously, Laramie gets suspended, but they did have something there, so it's harder to...
Yeah. Well, they had a lot on Laramie Tunsil. Because the coach...
I'm just trying to draw parallels on where you fight versus you don't fight comparatively to other
schools.
Well,
that's one of the reasons that there's a lot of argument for Ole Miss to not go public with a big fight because there was a lot there. I mean... The football coach called the stepfather a wife beater, and he goes, here's the phone. Here's my bank account. NCAA had access to stuff that they normally don't have access to. When the NCAA calls Cecil Newton and says, hey, we want to see your bank statements, he says, yeah, go pound sand. Looking at my bank account? And they go, okay, well, can't do anything about it. IRS calls and says, we need to see your bank account. Well, you got a problem. When the NCAA calls and says, we want to see your bank account, you tell them, yeah, I want to be the king of Morocco. I mean,
what's different now, though, is they actually can suspend your kid for not producing those items now.
But at the time, they couldn't.
No, I'm just talking.
And
yeah,
they're not going to do that now. They're not going to go out and start accusing kids of.
Oh, they'll pick somebody out. They'll punish some kid from Iowa State at some point.
Perhaps.
You don't think they're ever going to use that leeway that they have? It's in their pocket?
Probably not.
You just covered an incident investigation where they used every legal and potentially illegal means to convict a school.
But they had stuff.
But they still convicted them on other stuff they didn't have. That's my point. Yeah. They still went above and beyond going, well, if you don't produce these 25 pages of records in 2 days, then that guy can't play Saturday. Well, I mean, what do you do?
I guess my point is when Ole Miss said, hey, we didn't give Leo Lewis jack. Yeah, you did. It's right there. There it is. It's right there.
Well, yeah, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like the Moncrief stuff and all the way through, though. They had to prove their innocence by showing records. I mean, Dante's brother had to prove that he could afford this and afford that and whatnot. So I guess that's kind of my thing. What's the difference?
This is
what's
hindsight.
We're completely hindsight.
The Moncrief thing is where you should have fought. Hey, let me tell you guys about this. I'd have leaked that so fast. But I'm different about stuff. I mean, I would have leaked day one. Hey, let me tell you what happened with Dante Moncrief this week.
Ineligible until the night before, or the day of, or whatever it was.
It was
the day before.
It was the
day before.
Yeah, it was the day before because I remember talking to his former high school coach
right
on that Saturday morning. With, you know, didn't think much of it because I don't think he knew everything. He said it was a close call, but he's there. It was that game in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, I remember that. He traveled and kind of waited on the verdict, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It is what it is. Here's the message out there if you're in corporate America. Don't let the media shape your narrative if that narrative is incorrect. Because if they shape it long enough, it will become reality, and then there's nothing you can do to change it. That's why the perception of Ole Miss is that they really cheated. And they really fought these transfers, and they tried to they turned Shea Patterson into a victim. Shea Patterson's being turned into a victim story, overcoming adversity. Nothing could be further from the truth. And in those stories, you need a bad guy, whether it's cancer or whether it's a death of a family member or it's a school trying to hold you down. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And Ole Miss is the bad guy. Tom Mars is the hero, flying in with his cape, saving the day.
Does he get involved in this if the Houston Nutt stuff doesn't happen? That was his link in.
I don't know. That got him in. That got him in.
Yeah. Does he freedom fight without Nutt?
Would have been harder to do it. I mean, give him credit from a PR standpoint. He's done really well with this.
Found two journalists. I mean, and I don't mean that really maliciously. I mean that seriously. He found two journalists to pair it.
Two national journalists who will kind of carry his water.
Mm-hmm.
And he benefited from having a vigilant psychopath in Starkville who found it. He found it. And there's a group out there, and I think they're wrong, but I understand their point. There's a group out there that says Ole Miss should have known about that. Were there people at Ole Miss that suspected that Hugh Freeze had personal issues? Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no question. And there are people that say Ole Miss should have been combing his phone records. Here's the problem. You would have been combing the phone records of the guy that just won the Sugar Bowl, a guy who had a ton of capital. There are people that say Ross Bjork should have fired Hugh Freeze the day after the draft. If Ross Bjork had fired Hugh Freeze the morning after the NFL draft, there would have been an absolute revolt. Hugh Freeze had just won the Sugar Bowl. There would have been a revolt. He didn't have the capital to do that. That's second guessing. Hugh Freeze was deified by Ole Miss people. They bought it hook, line, and sinker. Because not only was Hugh Freeze winning, he was winning in a way that made everybody feel good. Nothing better than being able to go, hey, we won, and we won the right way. Changing kids' lives, recruiting different kinds of kids, all that narrative, that was really good stuff. Well, the Cubs almost didn't take Aroldis Chapman. Almost didn't pull the trigger on that trade. And then they said, you know what? Screw it. We want to win. Is he a bad dude? Yeah, he's a bad dude. Our shortstop's a bad dude, too. But he hit a grand slam in game six. It is what it is.
You know, I mean, but you and I agree 95%. The only difference I have is I just don't think it really matters. I don't think it's going to have any actual weight to have any relevance. I think that once everything's done everything's done from an NCAA point for Ole Miss at this point. Most of the people are gone. Freeze is gone. I mean, Pat points this out. Vitter's gone. Lee Tyner's gone. All these guys are gone except for Ross. So, I mean, it's this situation where, at the end of the day, it's a day of everybody kind of talking, and then we'll all move on with our lives tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. Just more PR stuff that eventually goes away. The news cycle is so incredibly short these days. I mean, you know,
we're barely talking about Urban Meyer at this point. Even with the psychopath putting all the text toward Tom Herman the other day.
No one's talking about Brett Kavanaugh. The president of the United States almost got into a fight with a CNN reporter, and people are filing suit against the White House, and it barely registers. People just move on. Stuff moves quickly now. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to be hyperbolic. The news cycle goes so fast. But if Michigan beats Ohio State, there will be, leading up to the playoff, there will be a whole lot of this story told.
Oh, tons.
And all of tons. these riders will fillet each other's bravery for, you're brave. Brave riding there, Dennis. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Dan. You're a fine American. Oh, you're a finer American. Fought the good fight. Your third paragraph, it moved me. Oh, well, your fourth transition. Oh, beautiful. I cried.
I'd love to know what Shay is really thinking during all this.
Not thinking much.
Just playing football.
It's his dad.
Got everything you wanted.
It's his dad.
Signed whatever he wanted, left when he wanted.
Yeah.
Got eligible when he wanted.
Yeah, it's not about the kid.
No.
The people that are attacking the kid, he's just a kid. He's fine. He's playing football. Probably going to a class somewhere, chasing girls, playing ball, being 21.
Think so?
That's what I think. If you want to get angry at someone, you get angry at his dad because his dad's the one he and Mars are pushing the narrative.
That's fair.
I don't think there was a scenario where both Shea Patterson and Jordan Tamu stayed here for this season. One of them was going to leave, in my opinion.
Yeah, once the injury happened, because, I mean, it's like with a lot of backups, sometimes they don't think they're good. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they're good enough. It took playing to then go, let's do this. I mean, you know, Shea never gets hurt, and Jordan's probably just a good soldier and goes in for somebody sprains an ankle for a few plays, and we move on with our days.
Right. I just think
– you never have any idea what the other guy can do or not do.
Once Jordan had a good month of November, I think had Shea stayed, I don't know that Jordan would have. And that happens everywhere.
They would have had to have both made the decision, hey, we're going to – fight this thing out and then see what happens.
Jalen Hurts is a minority.
Yeah.
And he made a calculated decision.
Yeah, with his clock. I mean, he was focused on this.
His clock, and also he wanted to continue to develop some skills in that practice setting. He gets to throw to elite receivers every single day, and he'll go transfer and play somewhere next year and prove that he can throw the football. Because everybody knows he's athletic and he has intangibles, and he's added to his intangibles in the eyes of the NFL people. You know, I mean, he's been a good soldier.
Yeah. Check out visitoxfordms.com/events to see all the things going on in town here soon, including today. The mini Masters Series continues at the University Museum puts it on at the Powerhouse. It is the Learn to Create with local artist Andy Bedsworth today. They've got the Scrambled Art Bowl still going and much, much more. Thacker Mountain Radio tonight, 6 o'clock in front of Off Square Books, and all the events available there at visitoxfordms.com/events.
Podcast also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi. It represents clients in 24 states and has advisors in 3 states. It's founded in 1997, Pinnacle Trust provides detailed specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity and decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. Regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan. Cookie-cutter financial planners put you in a box. Pinnacle Trust builds a box just for you. To learn more about Pinnacle Trust, go to pintrust.com. That's P-I-N-N-Trust.com. Mention that you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast. You'll get 10% off your first year's fee. Join the Westin Jackson for their inaugural event, the Festival of Trees. It's a community-wide event. The Westin Jackson has partnered with Eventful, Visit Jackson, Friends of Children's Hospital, and many others to create a one-of-a-kind, all-month-long holiday event. Comprised of elaborately decorated Christmas trees lining the Westin Jackson halls, a holiday charity gala, sugar plum fairy teas, and brunch with Santa, this annual event is sure to delight kids of all ages and warm the Christmas spirit in all who attend. Purchase your tickets today at jacksonfestivaloftrees.com. And the podcast brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you've been thinking about that golf trip with the guys, or maybe that anniversary trip to Napa or Paris, you've been thinking about playing golf in Scotland or Ireland, thinking about your spring break, maybe a cruise, or going to a resort in Florida or the Caribbean, get in touch with John Edwards. He's a part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. I've told you how it works. You give him some parameters, you give him a budget, let him know what you're trying to do. He'll give you some options. You don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. It's 901-494-3387 or jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast.
Now, Jeffrey Wright on the Oxford Exxon podcast. Jeffrey, good morning. We'll get into plenty of topics in a minute, including the fact that Jimmy Sexton must have died because now Tom Mars is the most powerful man in college.
I'm very sorry to thoughts and prayers to all his family.
Yeah, I know. But first, I will say, and I kind of stepped into this one yesterday for everybody that's listening. I thought I was doing a good deed. I had purchased a pair of golf pants. I said, you know, I'm going to tell them that there's some good stuff. I send the group text to some of my buddies. Jeffrey just calls me fat. That's how we went there. Was immediately I was told that the pants were only for obese people.
Well, I guess our theme for today is tell the story you want to tell. Don't tell the real story.
Right.
Because that's not what happened. What actually happened is Chase said, I have a confession. And then Chase said, Jeffrey's going to hate this, but I just got a pair of Adidas golf pants and I love them.
Yeah.
And then all I said was 3 words, fat guy pants.
Yeah.
Because every fat guy I know has Adidas golf pants and every single one of them loves them. They also, fat guys also love the Adidas golf shirts because they're longer. And so you can get the belly, like a lot of fat guys, they have problems with some of these golf shorts because they're too short. They pop out too easily. Not with Adidas, which is really ironic because Adidas with their tour guys,
it's like Dustin Johnson wears Adidas.
Right, but the worst part is like Jon Rahm looks way fatter than he is.
That is a good point.
Because with their tour stuff, they try to like compete with Nike, but no, like what they sell, like what they retail, fat guys love Adidas.
So you think they really should just sign like Patrick Reed and those kind of folks?
Yes.
Just keep those guys in Adidas all the time.
Yeah. I don't know if we're not going to stay on golf too long.
No,
I don't know if I don't know if you listened to the whatever shotgun start with the equipment guy from the golf.com.
I did not.
So the reason why I tell the story is apparently there is someone that is now in the top 10 that went to TaylorMade thinking that he was going to get the Rory deal. And the whole time they're explaining the story, I just go, I would bet my entire life savings that it's Patrick Reed.
I'll buy
because
that.
Because he left with not getting the deal.
Yeah. Which takes talent. So that's fair.
But again, that is our theme for the day. Don't tell the real story. Tell your story.
All right. So we're going to get football. One more thing before we do that, though. I want to know the bartering terms. Your girlfriend puts on Twitter that she did get her sensible flower arrangement, her dinner. Where did you go? And going into this, did you lay out these terms because you thought she's going to be really frustrated if she knows just how much I bet on Alabama or LSU? Or why did we get to the point where a first half line equaled amenities for the significant other?
First half line.
Sorry, all the lines. Sorry, every line. All the lines.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, and it's not like, I don't want to paint this picture that, like, she's some type of, like, controlling. You cannot do that. Like, she abides by normally, she normally abides by the principles. She is like, don't ask, don't tell. Like,
she seems fascinated by you in a way.
Well, she's not married yet. I mean, the deal's right. Not sealed yet.
Right. But she's also, I don't know, like, it's also like she wanted to figure out initially, like, okay, well, like, how much is he betting? Like, was it like 2,500, you know, a game? Like, she was trying to, and then once she kind of figured out, like, what a unit is, that eased some, maybe, because I gotta imagine, like, clearly know, like, I have a lifestyle, if you will, and coming in, you're like, okay, well, does this guy like, oh, like the Sharks money, like, well, we're like, you know, I would imagine there are a few natural questions that you
how
have.
Uncomfortable should I be right now is the question. So,
but the reason why that all occurred is because whatever she thought was a unit, multiply that number by 10. And that's what was on the line when it was all said and done with, I mean, over a paycheck was on the line when Alabama and LSU were playing. But by the time that game had kicked off, over a paycheck was on the line.
That was a smart bet, though, because that was easy money.
Yes, because at no point ever again were you going to see Alabama only that small of a favorite.
Against Joe Burrow.
Literally, the proof was the very next week. The very next week, they were not favored. They were favored by a whole bunch more than that against a team that, frankly, is better than LSU, even though it lost to LSU.
They're better than LSU, as you and I pointed out, like, they're better than LSU with the exception of Nick Fitzgerald. And Joe Burrow isn't, like, worlds better than Nick Fitzgerald, but Joe Burrow is more – you have to respect Joe Burrow more of a passer than you do Nick.
You do. I will say this. You do have a very strong beard working right now. I was a little envious.
Well, I did have a very strong beard working.
Why'd you get rid of it?
Because now that, like, the weather has snapped off, the air's drier, like, it was just chapping my face. Like, I enjoy the beard. Like, it looks fantastic, but I can't.
So she didn't tell you to get rid of the beard?
Oh, no. If anything, she would want me to have it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So how much do you have to drop on dinner?
It really wasn't that bad. We went to Catherine and Mary's in downtown Memphis. If you're looking for something, like, if you want to do the downtown night, this is not an ad. This is hashtag free ad. If you're looking for, like, somewhere else to go other than just, like, the Rendezvous or places that people normally tell you, I would highly recommend Catherine and Mary. It's more Italian inspired. It's the guys that own Andrew Michael.
Yeah.
That they own Hog and Hominy. What else am I missing? Grey Canary. And it's definitely a nice, if you and the wife are going to Memphis for the weekend, it's a very good option in that category.
So I'll let Neil pipe in a second as we switch to the story of the day. This popped up all in my text messages, your text messages in the last 25 minutes or so as we're recording this podcast. A tweet from Pat Forty that says, quote, The most impactful man in a suit in college football isn't a commissioner, AD, or agent. He's an Arkansas lawyer whose relentless work has altered the course of the past two seasons. Where would Michigan and five other programs be without Tom Mars? I'll allow you a reaction now.
First and foremost, a moment of silence for Mr. James Sexton.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Jimmy. To your boys, I all of them have been nothing but polite, fantastic young men. Hopefully they will honor your memory.
He was a great man. He was a great man, a powerful man, but a man of the people.
A fair man.
A man who won negotiations, and people got mad at him for doing his job. He is a man who did his job well, and that made people mad.
Completely agree. People get mad at him because the team they root for are really bad businessmen. And he is a good businessman. Like, that's what it is.
He's smarter than the athletic directors that he negotiates against.
Yes.
That's not his 100%. Fault. I'm sorry. That wasn't his fault.
Yes. Excuse me.
May he rest in peace.
Let's quickly. So read that lead one more time. Or the nut graph.
It's a tweet, but it says the most impactful man in a suit in college football isn't a commissioner, AD, or agent. He's an Arkansas lawyer whose relentless work has altered the course of the past two seasons. Where would Michigan and five other programs be without Tom Marsh?
What editor would allow that statement to go through? Because Greg Sankey is more powerful than Tom Marsh.
One that wants clicks to his website.
Neil, you can comment on this. When did the job of editor, I guess it's a business thing, right? The job of editor essentially went away you used to tell me the stories of every one of your editors. You basically could not put anything like that if it weren't true. Yes or no?
That's very true. Listen, I've watched a story unfold that's not really a story over the past 2 weeks involving Buster Olney, who's one of the best writers in all of baseball. And he is writing a clickbait thing on Chris Bryant that he just will not back off of, despite the fact that everyone on the record is saying that it's completely false.
Yeah, I guess that's just – and I understand it, because now online, you know, unless you have a business like y'all do, in which it doesn't really matter how many – you would rather more people read your stuff than not. When it's, you are not financially impacted whether or not 5,000 people read your stories or 75,000 people read your stories. Would you say that's fair? Like, obviously, that subscribers is, matter, but for a particular story, it will not affect the bottom line based upon the.
Yeah, one story is not going
to. Absolutely not.
I mean, obviously, the quality of your work will dictate business down the line. I completely understand that, but.
Not getting paid by the click.
Right. And so I guess that's just where we are, right?
We are. Look,
although I don't think Pat necessarily does either. I think this was just the way he wanted to phrase it.
Pat, this was Pat doing a solid for Tom Mars. And here's where I have a take, an opinion that's going to be incredibly unpopular. And
listening?
Is the story wrong? Of course it's wrong. Is Tom Mars the most powerful guy in college football? Not by the longest of shots. Is Tom Mars the reason that Shea Patterson is playing at Michigan this year? No. Is Tom Mars the reason that Van Jefferson is playing at Florida this year? No. Is this story believable in the eyes of the college football sports public? Absolutely. Why? Because Ole Miss stayed quiet way too long. Ole Miss took the beating so long that perception became reality. This is what happens when you don't fight back. This is what happens when you allow others to shape the narrative and you stay quiet, because you think that by staying quiet, maybe the NCAA will show mercy on your soul.
Well, I do agree with you on that, but couldn't you also add, I mean, Tom Mars entered this equation with Houston Nutt. Maybe you should have taken care of that too.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Now, there's no doubt that looking back, there's a little bit of hindsight there, but I'm with you. But there's no doubt that looking back when Tom Mars said, hey, I'm suing, you guys, y'all need to settle, that you probably should have said, hey, how much do you want? But there's a little bit of hindsight there. But when this Patterson stuff about the transfers, Ole Miss never fought the transfers.
Yes, that is, you're right.
And they should have come out very publicly and said, frankly, if you have young children in the car, skip forward 15 seconds. This is bullshit. That's not true. That's not what we're doing.
Good leeway time for dump button there. Half a second. Good job.
Just go, this is not true. We're not fighting it. We believe these kids were indeed misled by Hugh Freeze. And if they want to transfer, they can transfer. It's the other reason why Ole Miss, man, and look.
Real quick, I'm just devil's advocate, not really a devil's advocate, just making one clarifying point. At this point, did they do these things because they still thought they had to, in some weird way, back Hugh to get off easier? Like, was this part of the scheme in a way, though?
I guess, but it was poor.
Oh, well,
strategically, it was a mess. They would have been much better off. It's why I've said this all along, and everybody construes this as me saying Matt Luke is a bad hire, Matt Luke is this, Matt Luke is that. Has nothing to do with Matt Luke. The obsession with on the chancellor's, the former chancellor, the soon-to-be former chancellor's part, with maintaining stability, and God forbid 10 kids transfer, because this year would have mattered so much more or so much less had 10 more kids transferred. What difference would it have made? It was the perfect time to just go, screw it, man. Whatever. New page. Turn the page. Let's bring in a right guy. Let's bring in a new staff. Let's clean the decks. And if 10 kids leave, so be it. If 2 kids leave, so be it. If 20 kids leave, so be it. And I'm in the minority on that, but that's my opinion. I don't think it mattered to the long-term future of the program whether another 3 or 4 kids transferred out.
Took a break and to talk with Jeffrey to tell you about how Christmas is around the corner and MasterCuts wants to your home looking up to par throughout the holiday season. They offer an outdoor Christmas decorations that will transform your house into a festive staple of the neighborhood. Everything from lighting and garland to inflatable characters, whatever the vision may be, they help you design a custom display unique to your home. And the best part is all the decorations you pay for, you'll own them. They'll keep and store them to the next year, or you can store them yourself. That decision is yours. So start a tradition your family will cherish for years to come. Call MasterCuts for a free quote, 662-607-7773.
Podcast also brought to you by Dead Soxy. The limited edition Rebel colored socks are out. We've already been discussed quite a bit on the message board. The limited quantity, there are only 100 of each of the 8 styles available. So if you've been on the fence, this is a great place to start with the Dead Soxy brand. They have an introductory price point at only $20, and that's before the Rebel Grove discount. So after the discount, it's $15 a pair. That is a very good bargain for this quality of sock. This is the exact sock that they use for their custom clients. So if you're interested in the custom socks, try a pair of the Rebel socks to experience the difference that a quality sock makes. Powder blue colored socks can be a challenge to find. Dead Soxy has the styles and colors to appease any Ole Miss fan. They make a great gift for the holidays. So your stocking stuffer solution, it has arrived. Go to deadsoxy.com, deadsoxy.com/rebels, or find them on the bottom of the page under the styles heading. When you go to checkout, enter promo code Rebel Grove, and you get your 25% discount. Chase will have all these styles in Nashville. He's got the, as we said, he's got the socks in hand. So he'll have them in Nashville if you want to see them, and maybe you're lucky enough to win the drawing and get some of these socks. DeadSoxy.com. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. Grenada Nissan has a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals as well. Go in, test drive one. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast, and you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Now back to Jeffrey Wright.
I completely agree, and here's the other reason why I agree. And I know that Neil and I have discussed this. I'm not sure, Chase, if we've probably hinted at it, or, you know, we've probably talked around it, but I don't know if I've ever the whole point. The other reason why you had to start over, if Ole Miss were sitting here today They're 5-5, correct?
Correct. Yes.
They're sitting here at 5-5 with a completely new staff. The entire atmosphere around the program is completely different.
Look no further than Fayetteville, Arkansas, where they're sitting at 2-8, I think, right now, and everybody's talking about recruiting.
Because the truth is, it's just when you get a new staff, you get the, you can, whether or not it's true, like, for instance, Hugh Freeze, one of his great PR moves, actually like a successful one, was convincing everyone that that 2012 team was essentially, for lack of a better term, a Special Olympics team.
Yeah.
We see now in hindsight that, yes, they did not have, there was no A.J. Brown on that team. I'm completely willing to admit that.
There was a Dante Moncrief.
There was a Dante Moncrief, who's better.
Right. Dante Moncrief just signed a second contract in the NFL. So, but the bigger point is, look at all the defensive talent. Look what was on that roster. There were not maybe as many, there clearly weren't as many five stars, which God knows Ole Miss people just gravitate towards those. There weren't as many of those, but there are probably more pros, a lot more pros on that 2012 roster than there are on this roster. And essentially, all he did was win the games he was supposed to. Now, he caught the big break with Auburn imploding and Arkansas imploding.
Yeah.
But that's part of it.
Stayed insanely healthy.
But essentially, all they did was chalk. Like, they just went chalk.
And then beat State.
He got absolutely curb stomped by Texas at home. Like, there's no, the similarities between the 2018 season and the 2012 season are definitely there. But compare the atmosphere around the program at that point versus this point.
Oh, it was completely different. Now, obviously, there was a lot of recruiting momentum, but yeah, you have that brand new start. You've got the whole fresh thing. You've got a complete just rejuvenating effect after the end of the Houston Nutt train wreck.
Everybody likes new. Look at Kermit Davis right now. I mean, Kermit Davis.
The biggest problem with Matt Luke right now. The biggest problem with Matt Luke, in my opinion, is it feels like an extension of the era that everyone is trying to move on from.
He not only did he never even get the honeymoon, he didn't even get the wedding ceremony.
No.
I mean, they just like started.
It was like year 7.
Yeah, I mean, they just walked into year 7 of the marriage. She's already put on 40 pounds. Everybody's tired of each other. It's old. You've got infants.
No, I mean, that's even the better point. As Neil says, or as Chase just said, it's not even that he didn't get the honeymoon or didn't get the wedding ceremony. It's that he didn't even get, like, the newlywed portion.
No, you didn't get that portion of it where it's just the two of you.
Yeah. You legitimately walked into the, basically, to the final stages of a bad marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, a marriage that Ole Miss has already said we want out of.
But this today, Pat Forty's column, it will be lauded. People will say, "Oh, that's a great point," because it is well written. It will be lauded. And people will say, "Yeah, boy, I tell you what, that Tom Mars, he sure did. Ole Miss, I mean, it's more that Ole Miss was evil and Ole Miss was this big cheater, and they've allowed that narrative to just become reality."
I'm a little different just because I think the average college football fan doesn't give a crap. I don't think they're going to have an opinion either way. Move on. What's my team doing? What's my team not doing? Everybody cheats in the SEC. Who cares?
Well, you better hope Michigan loses to Ohio State, because if Michigan's in the playoff.
I mean, I don't care either way.
No,
I don't need to hope.
Michigan's going to get a month. This story will gain traction over
it'll
the course
It'll get
of
all
month.
The flyover at that point.
They'll all come in. And now
if Michigan beats Ohio State, heck, it's probably going to happen anyway next week, because I'm sure game day is going to be in Columbus.
That's
I bet
point.
There's a Tom Mars feature on game day.
Ooh.
Oh, and there will certainly be a Shea Patterson feature. And had it not, this is the narrative that's being shaped. Had it not been for Tom Mars, Shea Patterson would have had to sit out this year because Ole Miss was going to refuse to waive him, which is not true.
And there at the end, Ole Miss had to kind of get it done. At the end of the day, Mars had hit a roadblock there at the end that it had Ole Miss not changed some things. He still might, you know, had more trouble getting eligible.
And Matt Luke doesn't get credit for that.
No. 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 How's it fixable, Jeffrey? How does this thing turn around for Matt Luke, if it does?
As Neil once wisely said, It's not a scheme league. It's not a gimmick league. It's a players league.
Yep.
It's pretty easy.
You got to get players and win games, or else it won't.
Why did Ole Miss win games in 2014 and 2015?
They had better players.
It's not complicated.
Well, that's the thing here. I answered this question the other day on somebody else's podcast was, in a lot of ways, because there's not that five-star thing. This isn't about Kemdiche and Tunzel and Treadwell, so organic recruiting thing. At the end of the day, I don't even really care what they do in recruiting this February. It's all about what they do next August, September, October, November. That's it. You win games or you don't.
Yes. I mean, and, you know, as you point out, it's not even the Kemdiches, the Treadwells, it was the Cody Kors. It was the guy. They had so many fewer holes. They had the roster, right? You know what I mean? Like, there wasn't this drop off between AJ Brown and, for the sake of not trying to just eviscerate a kid, but pick anyone in the back seven,
right?
Or the front, or the defensive front.
Well, my point was so much goodwill got going and so much momentum got going because of recruiting, but that was such an isolated state because of all the five stars. That's not really comparable to this class, even if they do close well. It's not that kind of class where you get that sort of momentum built off of.
Here's the problem they have is that there's the hype's built around the kids like N'Kobe Dean. Mm-hmm. You can't lose a kid from Horn Lake to Georgia and then lose the running back at Memphis to Tennessee that you're trying to get, is Eric Gray. You've got to land if they're not going to win seven or eight games
Eric
next year.
Michigan man, I thought Eric was really into the education that you can get in Ann Arbor.
I think he's really big into the power T right now.
Yeah, he wants to run through that T.
I know you got to go in a second, Jeffrey. I'm curious about this. It's been kind of a conversation on the message board a little bit. We've talked about it for years, but what's the realistic positive expectation for Ole Miss and Memphis? How ingrained? How they're not ever going to like just completely dominate it, but what's best case there for Ole Miss as they move forward?
I think you can be, I don't know if you're going to dominate it, but I think you can be number two.
Tennessee's always one, even in Memphis.
I do think it's been with the exception of really exceptions to the rule. I mean, Michael Orr was an exception to the rule. Like, for the most part, it's been proven if Ole Miss and Tennessee go after the same kid from Memphis and they both desperately want him, Tennessee typically gets him in the end. But there's no reason why they can't be number two. And there's no reason why, you know, Tennessee can get three kids, but you could get, you know, so let's say there's five elite Division I guys in Memphis in a year. There's no reason why Tennessee can get three and you can't get two.
Who is two right now? Or just everyone? That's the problem.
Maurice, I think, in my opinion.
Do what now?
Maurice Hampton.
Oh, Maurice no, Hampton. No, no, no. I'm saying, what school would you say was two right now?
I don't know if there. I don't know if there's so much like there is a number two. It's
just you're not just number not, two. Yeah, I get it.
Right, and like, you know, if Alabama wants to come in and get a kid, they can come in and get a kid. Like, it's just kind of an open-door policy right now.
Is Maurice got a chance to get one of those football-baseball deals, or is he for sure just going to be MLB?
I think he's got a chance to get a football-baseball deal.
Even at that position?
Even at that position. I think he does. Because I think it is this weird situation where we look at it from – I do think the Kyler Murray playing for Oakland or, you know, playing for Oklahoma this year while being, what was he, drafted seventh?
Yeah, seventh or eighth.
That really opened my eyes. Like, if I'm the A's, like, I think now there's this idea that, like, if you want the kid, you kind of let him do what he wants to do because you're kind of banking on inevitably he sees that, you know, that's not his future. And that his future's with you, but let him go scratch the itch so that there won't be like this animosity or there won't be this sense of wonder, you know, of what if. Because it's all slotted money anyway, so you're gonna have to spend it one way or the other. But man, if I'm someone that's about to give up $4.5-5 million, whew, man, the last thing I want the kid that I'm paying is to go play college football.
Go play running back for a little while in the SEC. I'll see how that goes.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, and by the way, name someone who loves football more than I do.
No, I get it. I mean, he's in that same boat with Jerry and Ely, and I just can't get in my head that Ely's actually going to play college football because of the ability that he has to get a signing bonus here in a few months.
Yeah, and for those that don't, you know more about Ely than I do, but I know this about Maurice. Maurice is not what, like, Anthony Alford was toolsy.
Yeah.
Maurice is a baseball player.
It's real already.
Yes. And Maurice is young. Maurice is a year younger than he should be.
What's he looking at going? I mean, I know you're just projecting. I'm just curious.
I don't think he's going to hear his name called later than the top 100.
Okay.
And I mean, like, that's the floor. I think it's very real that he's a first rounder.
Yeah. All basketball talk on the show today. What are y'all doing?
Well, the Grizzlies, Neil, what was the Bucks record at home entering last night?
I don't think they had lost. They have been very good. I've watched them a lot. They're a really good team. I mean, Giannis is a top three or four NBA player right now. That was a big, big win for the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies, to me, when Conley plays like that, not only are they a team that could make the playoffs, they're a team that could win a playoff series and scare the hell out of somebody in a second-round series. I mean, we don't have time to get into it, but that was a big, big win. And the West is different than what people thought it was.
It's way worse than people thought.
But what it is also, though, is it's a handful of teams that last year didn't have an identity, have one now. Like, I watched the Thunder last night, and I know it was the Knicks, and the Knicks are awful. But the Thunder play with a very clear identity. You know exactly what they are, and it works. They're winning without Westbrook. And Memphis plays with an identity. And there's a lot of teams in the West, hell, including Golden State, that doesn't really have an identity. Like, you watch Portland. Portland has a very distinct identity. They're very consistent. Memphis is consistent. Consistent teams do well in the NBA.
There's no question. That was what Tim Roy, who's the color, or I'm begging your pardon, the play-by-play radio guy for the Warriors, said about the Grizzlies. He didn't beat her. He goes, this team's good because they are consistent. They have an identity. They do exactly what they do, and they do it well. But it does kind of beg the whole, you know, we've known if Conley and Gasol are healthy and play together for 7 years, this has been a playoff team.
Yeah.
And it's almost like surprising. Like, oh, look, they're still a playoff team.
Well, they added the rookie, who's a really good player. He gives them – when Conley and Gasol are out there and they're healthy, they don't need Jaren Jackson to be one of their top two guys. They don't – Jaren Jackson has to put no weight on his shoulders. He just gets to go play. And they added
– Jack's been a good find, too. They finally have a backup point guard.
Yeah, and, you know, like, Temple's good for them. They just have nice pieces, and they're well coached. They kind of know who they are when those two are out there healthy, and they're good. They're legitimately good. And when you look at the West and you say who is legitimately good right now, it's Golden State, obviously. Utah's having struggles, big struggles. Houston's not the team that, at least to this point, that everyone thought it would be. Minnesota's lost Butler. They're not going to be in it. Denver's good, but Denver doesn't scare the hell out of you. Portland's very good. I think Oklahoma City's good. I've watched them a bunch. And I think Memphis is good. And then there's just not a lot there. I'm telling you, if you told me right now that Memphis made it as high as the 5 seed, I'd buy it.
I still think
their team.
Ceiling's like 43 wins, but I've been wrong this year thus far.
Yeah, I think their ceiling's 47, 48, 49 wins. Now, it assumes health, and Conley's got to continue to play at that level. But when he plays at that level, they're really, really good.
Do y'all know anyone that would write a story about the most powerful man in morning radio in a top 50 market?
I mean, I can do it. I could do that. Okay. I'm a big Jeff Calkins fan.
I'm just saying. I mean, well, no, I was discussing, you know, the man that took the show from you know, number 8 in the ratings to number 1 in a span of only 9 months. I mean,
and he's a hell of a gambler too, is what I've heard.
Just a truly powerful individual.
We can work on that. I mean, there's nothing stopping me from writing it.
I just want to make sure we don't. Again, let's tell the story.
Yeah,
because it's a story that needs to be told.
Good luck with the show today, Jeff.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Jeffrey. As always, the podcast is brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Seto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. They're getting local underwriting that understands your market, a leader in condo financing, and the float-down option. So lock in your current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLO, that's J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry's an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. Harry's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry does. Go to his site, harryalexander.com. Click on the Neighborhoods and Properties tab. Filter through by what you're looking for, and then send him an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home and all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, without a 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. And with Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more, go to liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Podcast is brought to you by G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar in Oxford. Go in, get that flu shot before the week is done. Walk-ins are welcome. If you have a major insurance provider, it is free, if not $25, there at G&M. So walk in, feel better about your chances to not get the flu with G&M Pharmacy. And also, if you use them for all your pharmaceutical needs, they deliver local in the Oxford area. They've been remodeling different things. So go in, check it out. Tell them we sent you there. Yeah, you know, we're going to give away the socks in Nashville. If you come in with Blue Delta jeans, probably would even, like, rig it up for you a little bit. You probably have a better chance of winning Dead Soxy if you have Blue Delta when you come in. Just a hunch there as we get closer to that, one day away from being in Nashville tomorrow night. Ole Miss and Butler, a 7 p.m. tip for that one at Hinkle Fieldhouse. I saw Ole Miss's media relations director had never seen Hoosiers. He was watching it for the first time last night for basketball. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, Cuffner had never seen it. So everybody's trying to get their Hoosiers in before they head to Hinkle Fieldhouse. I did not catch a lot of flack for my Hoosiers takes the other day because I backed off of them more than anything else. I think I would have had I stayed on that topic, but it's okay. All good. And I'm convincing people Field of Dreams sucks because I really didn't get a lot of pushback on that either. I was expecting more Field of Dreams bashing.
No, it sucks.
It's bad.
It's bad. It's got a couple scenes in it that are good, but it's generally bad. Hokey. Hoosiers is solid. It's fine. Hoosiers is, I use this analogy a lot, Hoosiers is Buffalo Wild Wings. You know what you're going to get.
Yeah, but it has a real element. I mean, as much as I want to play around with, Hoosiers is a, I mean, I don't enjoy it as much, but from a critical how's the movie versus everything that goes around, it's a better movie than For Love of the Game and a ton of sports movies. I mean, it's a better film.
It is. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's solid.
It's very, from a direction, translation from life, you know, it's in that Rudy pantheon, and it's much better than Rudy is why I give it such a
yeah, because Rudy was offsides.
Wasn't close.
And that would never happen. Rudy would never happen. Hoosiers happened.
Were there a Rudy?
Yeah, but it was really Hollywooded.
Think it was Hollywooded up?
Absolutely.
You don't think it happened just like that?
No, because there's kids at every college program that walk on, and we all look at them the whole time and go, man, I wouldn't do that. And then by the time they've walked on 4 years, we're always like, man, I'll give that kid credit. And then he gets in a snap when Ole Miss plays Louisiana Monroe. And we all go, hey, isn't that great? Eh. And usually you find out the kid's wanting to be a coach or whatever, and he's paying his dues. I don't know. Maybe it's because I've heard the speeches of the real life Rudy, and he seems like kind of a creep.
Really?
A little bit.
I have a comparison to make. I'm not going to do it here. I'm going to think better of it. You know where I'm going?
I don't.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not doing that right now. You know, Saints signed Brandon Marshall. We're like one Terrell Owens signing from like getting every head case wide receiver in the NFL, giving him a shot this year. I mean, what's Keyshawn doing these
days?
What's
Michael Irvin up to? I see him every day.
Good grief.
Looks like he's working out a little here and there.
Locker room built on chemistry, and it's like, that's Bryant and Brandon Marshall, guys. Let's see how that goes.
It tells you that Drew Brees is in Sean Payton's ear. I need a veteran receiver. I need a veteran receiver.
He wants a veteran receiver. That's it. Yeah.
Well,
Brandon Marshall did say it was a different reality with Drew Brees throwing him the football, so we'll see what happens.
Well, let's be honest here. Brandon Marshall's not going to have too many other opportunities to get to a Super Bowl.
He might want to take advantage of this chance.
You know, this is your opportunity, and I'm sure that's what Drew Brees is telling himself, too, is, hey, I don't know how much.
At some point, Father Time's winning.
I'm defying that son of a gun, but at some point, he is going to send a blitz.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for the NFC playoffs. I think they're going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited, let me tell you.
You're dreading. I'm fired up.
I've never wanted a 7-9 team more.
I mean, two really good teams in the Saints and the Rams.
And a couple other ones that could get you in the right day.
And a couple of sneaky good teams. And I think the Bears are a good team, all jokes aside. If you look at some of Trubisky's numbers the last few weeks,
they're not ready
really
for
good.
That.
Oh, no. But they could terrify somebody in a playoff game.
Yeah.
Because they're good on defense. They're good. Metrically, they're good.
Yeah.
And if Mac's healthy, you have to account for him.
Mm-hmm.
And they're causing turnovers, and they're fun. And Trubisky's that crazy athletic quarterback that on the wrong day runs around, and suddenly they're in the fourth quarter, and you're a turnover away from an upset. And then, you know, Philly's a Super Bowl champ. Who knows what happens with a team like Minnesota or if a team like Green Bay got hot and you've got Aaron Rodgers back there at quarterback. I mean, it's just NFC.
Eagles are 4-5, but sneaky game this week, them in New Orleans. Philadelphia and the Saints in New Orleans at 3 o'clock this week.
Yeah, but Philly's going to have to start playing better or they're going to get blown out.
I mean, 4-5. They're one more loss, and it's about over.
Well, I mean, in this particular game on Sunday. And then I think the Bears are the Sunday night game. Is that right?
I haven't looked. Are they? You don't know?
I don't know.
Why do you not know?
I don't know. I mean, I play around a lot. I think they're the primetime game.
They host the Minnesota Vikings on NBC.
There you go.
Sunday night. And then Monday night, now in L.A., Chiefs-Rams.
I'm in. That's three games I'm locked in.
Those are all national because I'm assuming Saints-Eagles got flexed to the 325.
It did.
So, yeah. They've got a lot of crap at noon, and then it gets much better later in the day.
Well, I can endure crap at noon if I get those games.
There's nothing at noon. Nothing.
I mean, it's like Titans-Colts.
Falcons-Cowboys.
That's not terrible.
Panthers at Lions, sort of sneaky for Carolina,
potentially. Detroit needs a win bad.
Houston at Washington's a sneaky good game at noon.
Yeah, it's not.
That's a good game.
It's not bad at all.
No, that's a good game. Pittsburgh, it's the game they need to win in Jacksonville. Bengals at Ravens is an important game for both those two teams.
Yeah, but I'll just let somebody tell me what happened.
You good?
Yeah.
No interest.
You've
there.
Named some games that I could watch. Bengals, Ravens, no thanks.
At 3 o'clock, I do think there's the chance for Broncos Chargers to be fun. Everyone's watching Eagles Saints, but I
might flip during the commercials. Look, give me Eagles Saints, Vikings Bears, and then Monday
Rams,
night.
Chiefs.
I'm good. Vikings Bears, is that at Soldier Field?
It is.
That'll be a great game.
It's in Soldier Field.
They're wearing the orange.
Are they doing it?
Oh, and it's sexy.
It is a good looking
suit. It's a good looking jersey.
Yeah, the guy in Dubuque, he gets his 3 o'clock games out. He's probably not flipping to Broncos Chargers.
Oh, no.
He's not watching Broncos.
He's got Saints.
Yeah.
Saints-Eagles? Done.
Doesn't give a crap about either team.
No, give me Saints, Eagles, and then I get...
He's like a Browns fan or something.
Yeah,
but
then he gets Bears, Vikings that night from Soldier Field.
He probably hates one of those teams. Probably doesn't cheer for one of those
teams.
He
probably has a rooting interest in that game. Yeah. And then he gets a great game Monday night that he doesn't care who wins. It's the beginning of the Thanksgiving holiday. He can stay up. He doesn't have to get the kids up the next morning. Uh-huh. Kind of locked in a little. Like, normally I don't get to watch Monday night football that long because I've got to go to bed. We got to get up. And
no, Monday night football is a chore.
And now I get to – I'll watch that game. Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff, in.
And, I mean, we got plenty of time to get to this, but your Thanksgiving schedule is the Bears at the Lions at 11:30 in the morning.
That's a good game.
The Redskins at the Cowboys at 3:30.
It's a big rivalry game. It'll mean something.
And then 7:20, the Falcons at the Saints.
I don't know what you're going to do. What are you going to do?
What do you mean?
What are you going to do?
I don't know what you're asking me.
What are you going to watch on your – are you going to be watching on your computer or are you going to be watching the Egg Bowl?
Well, I mean, I'm going to have the game on my computer. The other one's in front of me. I'm looking over the computer at that one.
The day that the Cubs played the Indians in Game 4 of the World Series, Auburn and Ole Miss was in front of me. I did not see a play.
You didn't watch much of that one?
I didn't watch any of it.
Well, it's not the World Series. I mean,
it's a hell of a big game, and it's your rival.
It's an important game for the Saints just to keep pace.
You got a legitimate chance to win home field.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I meant by pace.
The Chiefs are going to beat the Rams. Chiefs are going to beat the Rams.
Why?
Because the Rams are having to adjust without Kupp, and I'm telling you, it's going to take a week.
Think so?
Yeah, he's a big part of their offense.
The Saints are worrying me a little bit from a scheduling standpoint because they have those three road games in a row and then finish with two really hard home games. I'm worried about the last 5 weeks.
Give me their schedule. I'm
going to
tell you what they're going to do.
All right. Got the Eagles at home.
Win.
So that would put them 9-1.
Okay.
They have the Falcons at home.
10-1.
So you think they're sweeping the two home games?
That's what I said.
At Dallas.
11-1.
Think they're beating Dallas on the road.
That's exactly what I said.
At Tampa Bay.
12-1.
They're not getting swept by the Buccaneers. At Carolina.
12-2.
Which brings Carolina back into the picture a little bit. Two home games to finish, Steelers and Panthers.
14-2.
13-3. Lose one of the home games late.
If you say so. I'm not the one that's doing the psychological thing. I've watched the games.
You picked the Saints to beat the Bengals on Sunday.
I said they would destroy the Bengals on Sunday.
Yeah.
They're better than the Bengals.
Okay, real quick.
And then you can take me through the Rams schedule. I'll tell you what.
Let's go to the Panthers first.
All right.
Saints have a two-game lead. They haven't played yet.
Okay.
The Panthers have the Lions on the road.
Iffy.
It's probably a win. But
probably a win.
Seahawks at home.
Probably a win.
Tampa Bay on the road.
Probably a win.
Cleveland on the road.
Probably a win, but it'll be weird.
And then they have the two Saints games between a Falcons game at home.
They'll go 2-1 in those three games. They're going to split with the Saints, and they'll beat the Falcons.
So that's my point. I mean, they could not lose, but one more time.
But they have some squirrely. You could get Cleveland on horrible weather.
And even if they only lose one more time, that's 12-4. Yeah, it's hard for the Saints to come back to 12-4.
12-4 playing a damn wild card game.
Whew. I've been there. I was in Seattle. I've seen that one. We'll watch
and
that
a wild card game could be at Chicago where it's cold.
Well, it's at Chicago or at Washington.
Yeah.
Those are probably your two.
And you know what? I'd give me the Bears in a playoff game at home against the Panthers.
Be a really good game. Oh, I'd be very into that game.
Dialed in.
And then quickly.
Khalil Mack chasing around Cam Newton.
Yeah. And then the Rams schedule the rest of the way. They are 9-1. They currently have home field because they're a half game ahead of the
Saints.
Go
ahead. Give me their schedule. I'll tell you what they're going to do.
So they got the Chiefs at home.
9-2.
You think they lose at home?
I've just told you that.
Okay. Then they have a bye week, so we get back on schedule.
Home field doesn't mean anything for them. There's nobody there.
Well, it's better than being on the road.
Yeah.
You don't want to be at Arrowhead.
No, but they're not.
They've actually drawn pretty well the last couple of weeks, other than the Packers game.
Because the Packers was a bunch of Packers
fans.
Yeah,
that's the only game lately they haven't actually had a pretty good crowd.
Okay.
Then they got, they're at Detroit and at Chicago back to back.
Win, loss.
You think they lose in Chicago?
I do.
I don't, but okay. And then home against Philadelphia.
Win.
At Arizona.
Win.
And then home against San Francisco.
Win.
13-3.
And could go 14-2 because you're right. They could win at Chicago.
Yeah,
I think the Bears are good. I think the Bears are a 10-win team.
Yeah, there's just a big difference between a 10-win team and a 14-win team. But the Bears, they can get you at home.
But the Bears are a good home team.
Well, they're 6-3, so they're
they're a good home team. The Bears have lost at Green Bay, at Miami, and they lost that stupid game at home against the Patriots.
The Bears have a cupcake schedule. I mean, it's not out of the realm that if one of those two teams got a little squirrely for a couple of weeks, the Bears actually could get in that conversation if they could hold serve because their schedule's not hard.
Give me their schedule.
Vikings at home.
I think they're going to win, 7-3.
At Detroit.
8-3, but squirrely.
At New York.
Which one?
Giants.
Oh, win. They're horrible.
Rams at home.
I think it's a win. I think they get hot.
Green Bay at home.
I think they win at home.
At San Francisco.
It's a win.
And at Minnesota.
Probably a loss.
Well, if you do that, they're 12-4. And now I think with a young quarterback, they screw up somewhere just because.
I tend to agree.
But he's that's 11-5.
He's playing at a really high level right now. He was really good last week.
He is. But let me tell you the teams he's played at that real high level against.
Yeah.
Detroit, Buffalo, the Jets, the Dolphins, the Bucks, and the Cardinals.
Yeah.
He's played a cake schedule to this point.
He was really good for a half against the Packers.
And he was good at times against the Patriots.
And he had moments against the Patriots, but he had a couple of throws that, ooh.
Yeah, that's my thing. Their schedule is so soft, I'm having a hard time fully buying in on them at this point. That's kind of where I am with the Bears.
As they get healthy on defense, because Roquan Smith's been great.
Yeah.
Fuller's been great.
Mm-hmm.
They're good.
So.
And they've kind of missed some games with kicking and stuff. And
hang out with us tonight. Hang out with us in Nashville tomorrow, Mr. McCready.
Yeah, before we go, let me tell you this podcast also brought to you by Megan Phillips, LAH Real Estate. She's the person to call for all your real estate needs in the Birmingham area. With almost a decade of experience, Megan's knowledge and expertise can help you buy or sell your home today. So visit her website, meganmphillips.com. That's MEAGANMPhillips.com. Or call her at 205-602-7929. Also, registration for the spring soccer season and the Oxford Park Commission has started. If your son or daughter played in the fall, the cost is just $35, and your child will rejoin his or her current team. And for those signing up for the first time, it'll be $55 to play in the spring. Leagues are open for ages 4 to 15. For more information, call OxfordParkCommission.com.
Multiple events. Come hang out with us. We'll have another podcast from the audio version tonight with Matt White in the morning. Greatest Pod in the South up. Had a soft verbal yesterday as well. So a lot of MPW Digital products for you to listen to. We'll be back next week. Ole Miss and Vanderbilt, 6:30 on Saturday.